had to have been there to understand how powerful those songs can be. It's one thing to sing it like you remember it. It's another thing to sing it like you have experienced it. I wish you could have been there to hear Big Mama and them sing, "I Believe I'll Make a Good Soldier." Amen. Listen, there's a lengthy text I want to read, but I want to read it because there's no telling when I'll get back to this neighborhood again, and so just bear with me. The text is found in the book of Judges, Judges chapter 7, verses 12 through 25. Judges chapter 7, verses 12 through 25. The text says, "The Midianites, the Amalekites, and all the other eastern people had settled in the valley, thick as locusts. Their camels could no more be counted than the sand on the seashore. Gideon arrived just as a man was telling a friend his dream. 'I had a dream,' he was saying. 'A round loaf of barley bread came tumbling into the Midianite camp. It struck the tent with such force that the tent overturned and collapsed.' His friend responded, 'This can be nothing other than the sword of Gideon, son of Joash, the Israelite. God has given the Midianites and the whole camp into their hands.' When Gideon heard the dream and its interpretation, he worshiped God. He returned to the camp of Israel and called out, 'Get up. The Lord has given the Midianite camp into our hands.' Dividing the 300 men into three companies, he placed trumpets and empty jars in the hands of all of them with torches inside. 'Watch me,' he told them. 'Follow my lead. When I get to the edge of the camp, do exactly as I do. When I and all who are with me blow our trumpets, then from all around the camp blow yours and shout for the Lord and for Gideon.' Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the camp at the beginning of the middle watch, just after they had changed the guard. They blew their trumpets and broke the jars that were in their hands. The three companies blew the trumpet and smashed the jars, grasping the torches in their left hands and holding in their right hands the trumpets they were to blow. They shouted, 'A sword for the Lord and for Gideon.' While each man held his position around the camp, all the Midianites ran, crying out as they fled. When the 300 trumpets sounded, the Lord caused the men throughout the camp to turn on each other with their swords. The army fled to Bethshittah toward Zarath, as far as the border of Abel-Molech near Tabbath. Israelites and Naphtali, Asher, and all of Manasseh were called out, and they pursued the Midianites. Gideon sent messengers throughout the hill country of Ephraim, saying, 'Come down against the Midianites and seize the waters of the Jordan ahead of them as far as Bath-Barah.' So all the men of Ephraim were called out, and they took the waters of the Jordan as far as Beth-Barah. They all captured two of the Midianite leaders, Oreb and Zeab. They killed Oreb at the rock of Oreb and Zeab at the winepress of Zeab. They pursued the Midianites and brought the heads of Oreb and Zeab to Gideon, who was by the Jordan." All right, I want to close up today talking about winning the war. Winning the war. I've done the best I know to get you to see there's a war going on. God and the devil are duking it out, and they both have their soldiers. We who are saved are to be soldiers of the Lord. Those who are not saved are soldiers of the devil. Since we must find ourselves in war, I am under the impression that somebody here wants to win the war. Am I in the right house? Anybody want to win the war? And so up to this point, I've been talking to you about the war and how as soldiers, we need to work on teamwork. Brothers, we need to step up. We talked about following leadership, dealing with our fear. But today I introduce this sub-thesis based on the text read today, how we should be mindful of Gideon, men, and God. Gideon, men, and God. Gideon is our first concern. If you look at verses 15 through 18, I suggest that there are two lessons that you and I can learn from Gideon in verses 15 through 18. We can learn, first of all, about spiritual listening, and then if you would give me a minute, I'm going to talk about encouraged work. But this spiritual listening, look what happened now. In 14 and before, Gideon shows some signs of fear. So he goes down and he listens to what the enemy has to say. There he finds them talking about a dream of a barley loaf coming and destroying a tent. And Gideon heard that as confirmation that somehow the Lord would do what he said he would do. That is, Gideon listened to what was going on around him and compared it to what God had said. And the result of hearing what's going on around him in comparison to the promises of God led to Gideon being encouraged. Children of God, there are some frightening things going on in all of our lives. However, if you give those things your undivided attention, they will grow bigger and bigger and bigger. You can't have breakfast, lunch, dinner, and snacks with fear and think it's not going to grow on you. Let me get a little closer. There may be somebody here who's afraid of growing old and alone. Think that your spouse is not going to be there, your children not going to be there, family, friends, relatives have already began to leave you, and the prospect of spending your latter years alone just scares you half to death. Or it may be the fear of outliving your money. Day by day, you're getting older, but day by day, your money is getting shorter. And it's becoming more and more difficult to hold on to work that keeps things together for you. And as you see yourself getting older and older, perhaps you find yourself getting more and more afraid. But look what we can learn from Gideon. When we look at and listen to what's going on around us and hold it up against what God has said and what God has promised, you, me, just like Gideon, can leave the situation encouraged. Let me get a little closer. If loneliness is your problem, hold that up against Matthew 28:20, which talks about how lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. If you think you're going to run out of money, hold that up against the promise in Matthew 6:33 that talks about if you would just seek first my kingdom and my righteousness, then all of these things shall be added unto you. If your problem is what people say about you, what people do to you, you remind yourself, self, the Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse 4, greater is he who is in me than he who is in the world. If death scares you, remind yourself that John chapter 11, verse 25 says, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live again. Whatever this world throws your way, whatever the devil tries to scare you with, if you hold it up against what God has said, you can leave the situation encouraged. But you got to listen now with spiritual ears. Whatever you see, whatever you hear, whatever you feel, you remind yourself, self, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not be in want of anything that I need. Spiritual listening is one lesson we learned from Gideon, but there's that second lesson of encouraged word. Gideon did not just get excited about what he heard, but he was encouraged to do his work. After he got encouraged, he stepped up, he manned up, he became the great leader of the text. He divided the men into their company of hundreds. He gave each man instruction. He told them, follow my lead, follow my example, say what I say. Look at courageous Gideon after he had spiritual listening. Can I let you in on a secret? In spite of the war that's going on in your life and mine, God still has a work for us to do. If you are saved, God has a work for you to do. And the fact that there is a war going on in your life does not give you a pass from the word. Soldiers are trained and bred to fight in the midst of the war. I wonder, are y'all listening to me? The devil is not going to just sit back and let us pursue our values of evangelism and edification and loving one another and worshiping God, being involved in the community, striving to do everything at a high standard of excellence. The devil ain't gonna just sit back and let us do all of that. His job is to try to block us at every path. His job is to try to stop us every chance he gets. But I declare, if you and I bear down and determine within ourselves that come what may, I'm going to serve the Lord, you'll find out it might be amazing, but it is no secret what the Lord can do. We've been made to be the light and salt in Avondale, in vicinity, and the world. And you know, the greatest measure of how we're dealing with our faith and our fear is how well do we do our work. It's easy to talk a good talk, but if you really want to see where's the person's faith and where is their fear, then you need to look at what kind of work can they do when things get rough, tough, and tight in their lives. I shared this morning that it was not only an acquiescence to the way I've been made up, it's not just yielding to how I'm wired for me to work through the grief of my father. But I thought it was helpful to get people to see that the anointing can help you make it even in your most painful situations. It was not a demonstration of Superman. It was a demonstration of the anointing. Now, I want to be very clear. All of us ought to find healthy ways to deal with our grief and our pain. I would not want you to think that I'm just such a super Christian that I have never cried. I've cried many tears over the loss of my father. Miss him dearly. But there's something about the anointing that can make you keep on going when you thought you couldn't keep on going. There's something about the anointing that can make you stand up when you prefer to sit down. It can keep your voice strong when, if it was up to you, it would be trembling. The anointing can help you get through this war, putting one foot in front of the other. And if God has blessed you to be a leader, it is even more incumbent upon us to get ourselves together and do the work that God has called us to do, because our attitude has a disproportionate sway on those who are trying to follow us. Another way of saying that is, when we're weak, people that's trying to follow us get weak. But when we're strong and encouraged, then we can pass strength and courage on to those who are coming along behind us. You cannot send a bunch of sheep to go fight the wolf. Shepherd got to go with the sheep if sheep got any chance of standing up against the wolf. And it's not because we're Superman. It's not because we're Superwoman. It is not because we don't bleed when we cut. It's not because we don't hurt like others hurt, but it is because there is an anointing that allow you to stand up when your humanity would have told you, sit yourself down. These lessons come from Gideon, the lesson of spiritual listening and encouraged word. I hasten on to look at these men now. In verses 23 and 24, the men have caught my eye again. I was already impressed with them at how they were able to process down from 32,000 men down to 10, down to 300 men without a church meeting, without an argument, without somebody saying, we've never done it this way before. We've always done it this way. They had already impressed me with their ability to follow leadership. But today, they caught my attention again. In verses 23 and 24, the text teaches that those men, 32,000 men, 31,700 men that have been sent home. Y'all still here? You remember we started off with 32,000 men. 22,000 men got sent home because they was too afraid. Then 9,700 got sent home just the other day because they were too comfortable. When you put 22,000 plus 9,700 together, that's a whole lot of men who've been sent home. But in 23 and 24, verse 23 and 24, we see that the men have been recalled. They've been recalled. Gideon told the men, listen, brothers, we got them on the run. Come on down, cut them off at the Jordan. We got them in an ambush. We got them in the crossfire. They're running from us, but they're running into you. Come on, we got this thing. And the Bible says that the men pursued. There was no foolish talk of, well, you ain't want us in the beginning, so we ain't coming now. If we was there, I don't think it would have been this smooth. These men simply said, Gideon said, come on, let's fight. It's a war going on. Whatever differences we have, let's handle that in peacetime. But in war, it's time to execute. No man said, since I couldn't serve on the first squad, I ain't gonna serve on the second squad. But you know, there are people like that in church. If their name ain't at the top of the list, they sure enough ain't gonna be at the bottom of the list. If they can't run it, they ain't gonna be following nobody. If I ain't in charge, I just sit over here and y'all just go on by yourself. But these men set a marvelous example. And you know, some people can learn from preaching. Others have to learn by pain. What kind of person are you? Israel had this problem. Israel had all kinds of prophets to come preach to them. Most of them, they ignored. They had Jeremiah down in the cistern crying. Talking about he the weeping prophet. He was weeping because they was beating the preacher. He wasn't soft. They was beating the man. They did not learn from the prophets. The most effective way to get Israel to do right was to send Nebuchadnezzar with Babylon's army to burn down their temple, to take their gold, to take the Ark of the Covenant, to export the talented tenth. And my prayer to God is that we don't have that Israel blood flowing through us. Hear the word of the Lord. It's so much less painful. I assume that we want to win this thing. Am I in the right house? I mean, you do know there's a war going on. And if you want to win the war, I'm trying my best to get you to see, you got to trust God enough to follow who God has sent you. Now, I got to tell you, God do some strange stuff. God do some strange stuff. But he knows what he's doing. The longer you walk with him, the more confident you become, God know how to tear King Saul down at the right time, and he know how to build King David up at the right time. If you just trust the Lord, even when you can't track him or trace him or understand him, if you could just trust him and obey him and believe he got a plan, then God can work this thing out for us. The men again show us how to follow leadership. I close now talking about God and what a marvelous exit. I told you that Gideon has lessons about spiritual listening. I told you that Gideon can show us a marvelous example of encouraged work. I bragged about the brother's ability to follow leadership, not because Gideon was so much, but because they believed that the Lord would work it out somehow. I close now talking about God. In verses 22 and 25, look at God just showing out. In verse 22, it talks about how these 300 men each blew their trumpet, each broke their jar in which there was a lantern. If you would have been there and interviewed the Midianites, they would have told you the reason we are so afraid. It is not because of the 300 men that's holding the lantern, but it is because we believe that each one of those men represent a whole unit of troops that are coming down the mountain. You would have had to have been there to understand how dark the night can be. You know, people who've been born and raised in the city really don't know how dark nighttime can get. You kind of got to go down south somewhere where they don't have street lights along the street. You kind of got to go down in the woods somewhere to appreciate how dark it can really become. You know, darkness has a way of disorienting you. Paths you have traveled day in and day out. You find yourself not being able to make your way in the middle of dark times. So here, the Midianites are looking at the soldiers, thinking that each of the 300 lanterns represented 300 units of troops coming down the mountain. And really, what was happening was the Lord was working that thing out. Did you hear me? And then y'all look at what happens in verse 25. Many died in verse 22. But there were those who escaped the initial slaughter. And they thought that they would retreat and run from God's people. I wish I could have been there to tell them, you can run, but you cannot hide. I think I'll preach here. I wish I could have been there to tell them that praying will be better than running. Because you can't outrun my God. But maybe if you bow down and tell the Lord I'm sorry, I heard he's a God of grace and he's a God of mercy. I gotta keep moving, children, but I'm wondering, Do you have enough spiritual sensitivity to see how this text can be tailored to your trials and your tribulations? If God can kill all of these people, then surely he can help you with your bills. If God can kill such an army, then surely he can help you with some arthritis and some rheumatism. Did you hear me? If the Lord can kill Midian's army, then surely he can handle those people who are hating on you, on your job, in your classroom. And God, all right, now I gotta tell you this, cause this is my last time running through Judges chapter 7 for a while. Yes, we can trust God to do marvelous things. And I really don't like to give the devil any props or any credit. But I gotta say this, I believe the devil will keep on being a devil in your life and in mine. You hear me? And so then, the only question on the table is not what will God do, is not what will the devil do. The question on the table is, what will you and what will I do in this war? Find yourself, I said find yourself in Judges chapter 7. Are you in that first group dismissed because of fear? Are you in that second group dismissed because they're too comfortable? Are you in that third group, the 300 that made it to the battlefield? Are you like Purah, the servant that helped his leader up instead of pulling him back down? Are you like Gideon that can tell the Lord, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief? I pray to God you're not in the Midianite army. But I think I ought to tell you, there is no neutral. There's no such thing that I'm not in it. You're either on one side or you're on the other. So please come on to the Lord's side. It is the winning sign. My time is gone, but I want to read a hymn to you. And that's one of the things I love about Christian music, especially the hymns. Even if you don't know the melody, even if you can't stay in your key, if you can just read the words to a hymn, they can minister to your spirit. So listen to what came from the pen of Thomas Shepherd. He wrote that hymn, Must Jesus Bear the Cross Alone. Can I have a minute to just read the lyrics to this great hymn? It says, Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free? He answers his own question. No, There is a cross for everyone, and there is a cross for me. Listen to verse 2. The consecrated cross out there. How long until death shall set me free, and then go home my crown to wear? For there's a crown, there's a crown, there's a crown for me. I wish I had a witness. Some of y'all have seen me wear my hat on Sunday morning. On Sunday morning, y'all, I got a bad brim. I got it back here in my office. I'm a little old school with Sunday dress. I like to shine my shoes. I like to make sure that my pants got a nice crease in them. And then it doesn't matter if it's summer, fall, winter or spring. I like to wear my hat on Sunday morning. I got a black straw hat that I wear when it's warm. And then I got a black wool hat that I wear when it's cold. And I don't like to just flop it on. I like to lay it to the side. I like to break it down over my right eye. But I tell you, if you think I can wear that hat, I dare you to meet me up in glory when I get my crown. I heard there's a crown for me, and I don't know, but I think it's been customized just for me. Can't nobody wear my crown like I wear my crown. And I'm gonna see if the Lord will let me wear it to the side. I gotta keep going, y'all. The third verse says, upon the crystal pavement down at Jesus' pierced feet, joyful, I'll cast my golden crown in his dear name repeat. Maybe that's why I love that song, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. When you know him, he's like Lay's potato chip. You can't just have one of them. If he's been good to you, you can find yourself caught in a loop. Jesus in the morning, Jesus at noon, Jesus in the evening, Jesus late in the midnight hour. And then finally, the fourth verse says, oh, precious cross, oh, glorious crown, oh, resurrection day, ye angels from the stars, come down and bear my soul away. And God, all right, one of these days, I don't know when, I don't know where, but you'll hear of my home going. But don't weep for me. I got my business fixed long time ago. When I say goodbye in death over here, I'ma say good morning to glory over there. The angels will bear my soul away. And isn't that good news? If birthdays are painting your hair gray, I got good news. If birthdays are pulling your teeth without Novocaine, if birthdays are tying a knot in your back and making you bow, whether you want to bow or not, if time is slowing your footsteps, dimming your eyesight, lowering the volume on your ears, I got good news. One of these days, angels will come and take our soul from these decaying bodies. Ain't that good news? Over there, no acid reflux. Over there, no arthritis. Over there, no cancer threats. Over there, no PSAs. Over there, you don't have to take exams every year to make sure that things are all right. These glorified bodies are not prone to cancer. They're not prone to disease. Oh, my brothers and sisters, I gotta quit here. I gotta at least say a little Bible story at 4 o'clock. But before I close, I think I'll tell you this. I'm glad to be a soldier in the army of the Lord. It was pretty nice to wear the Air Force Army. It was nice. I remember they pinned the stripes on my arm. I remember dress parade and they have your ribbons. Yes, so. But if you think that was something, come on. In the Lord's army, it is the winning team. I shared this morning one of the things I love about God's army is we're going to win. We're going to win this thing. I hate to lose. I can't stand losing. So I'm glad to be on the Lord's side. Yes, I might lose some battles. Yes, I might cry sometimes. But if I just keep my hand in the Master's hand, everything, I said everything, everything is going to be all right. Anybody here believe it's going to be all right? Just tell your neighbor, hey neighbor, I don't know what you're going through, but I believe God will take care of you. Come on and help me. Tell somebody, God will take care of you. Won't he do it? I said, won't he do it? Yes. God will take care of you. We're going to win this thing. I said, we're going to win this thing. If you really want to win the war, stay on the Lord's side. This is the winning team. It might look strange sometimes. You're gonna have some bumps on the road, but I dare you to just stay with the Lord. God will take care of you. I said, God will take care of you. You'd be crazy to put all your trust in Gideon. You'd be crazy to put your trust in the 300. But you can sure enough trust God. God will make a way somehow. God bless you. Would you stand? The invitation is extended. If things are not well between God and yourself, today's a marvelous day. Come on over on the Lord's side. If you know you need to get right with God, you know you need to join, be reinstated in the church. Come on. The door is open. You ought to come on and get on the winning team. The devil gonna lose this thing. The devil gonna lose. Come on, get on the winning team.